2 John, Ephesians 4 and John 13, if you want to bookmark. Second John, the first verse says, "The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your house nor greet them, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for men and women who wrote these words down upon the pages of our Bibles, Lord, that we can read them today and have them speak to our hearts and to our lives. I thank you for the Apostle John and his heart for this lady, this ministry, these lives. Lord, to take the time and write this letter of encouragement to them. God, I pray that that would be something that would be reminded in all of our hearts. Those that we would encourage, those that we could help along the way and the path that they're upon. So we pray as we now study this word that we would remember it, that it would become a part of us, and that it would change us. We love you, God. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. John writes this letter. Actually, 2 John and 3 John are individual letters that John writes specifically to a lady, specifically to a man. 3 John is basically written to Gaius. Some believe that 2 John could also possibly be written to a church instead of just the lady and her children, a church and the followers or the members of that church. The interesting thing about 2 John is that there was such persecution in the days that John was living, the days that he was writing this, he may be using these kind of generalities as just a way to protect the church and to protect even himself, doesn't name himself either. But he takes the time to write this letter, and whether it's written to a specific woman and her children or a church and the members of that church, the context is still the same. The message is still the same. John, encourage to stay in the truth. I mean, I don't know how many times you see it. He keeps saying the word truth, truth, truth throughout this one little letter. And to take the time to write this, he's encouraging this person whose children are doing well to continue doing well. And that's really what the heart behind Christianity should be. It's one thing to get saved one day. It's one thing to have a great experience, but it's an absolute another thing to continue in your relationship with God, always pressing in. I don't know if you've heard it or not. I don't know if you listen to Christian radio or not, but there's a Christian radio station that's saying these days, listen to our station for 30 days straight and it will impact your life. For 30 days, they want their listeners to listen to their message because it's a positive message and they believe it will transform your life. And I agree with that. I believe that if you listen to anything or do anything consistently for 30 days, it will impact your life, right? If you exercise consistently for 30 days, you'll probably get in better shape. If you read your Bible consistently for 30 days, I bet you'll know the word a little bit better. If you pray consistently every day for 30 days, I believe you'll get closer to God. I also believe if you eat more fruits and vegetables, you'll have more energy at the end of the day. All of these things can have positive effects, but the opposite is also true, is it not? 30 days of doing anything bad will affect your life as well. So here, to me, the Apostle John is writing to this woman, listen, you're doing good. You're being faithful. Your kids or the members of your church, however you want to put it, it's fine with me. They're doing well, but don't stop. Don't stop there. I think sometimes in our Christianity, we can be doing so well that sometimes we coast for a bit. You know, we're seeing positive results. We're seeing things happen in our lives. And then we just kind of relax. We kick back and we just let things kind of happen. And that's when the wheels fall off. That's when the trouble happens. No, we need to press in, always moving forward. The Bible says, don't lose heart while doing good. We should constantly be doing good. So I would encourage you, and it's a small letter like this. I've been reading it over and over and over all week, and it's impacted my life. It's changed me in just 1 week. If you would take a book of the Bible and read it every single day for a month, it will change you. You'll know that. You'll know the scriptures. You'll get the word in you. And I always just say, take one that's only got 13 verses. It's easier to memorize. It's easier to memorize. But get the word in you. And know that God wants you to love. John's heart is always to love. And he even says this to him, hey lady, love others. That's the commandment we have from God. Love others. See, I see two things in this little letter. I see two things that John is telling to this woman and her children. He's saying, listen, you're doing well. You're practicing truth, and that's good. How many believe in here it's good to practice truth? Question is, where do you get your truth? What truth are you practicing? There's too many things, there's too many variables, there's too many influences in our world that can give us false truth, and if we could live those too, we'd think we were living truth, but it's not. Where does your truth come from? John is saying the truth is Jesus, the truth is the Word of God. This is the truth you need to walk in, you need to live it out, you need to practice it. And he's saying, you're practicing well. And then in the second section, he says, now protect that truth. So important in the days that John was living, but don't you think so important in the times that we're living as well? Protecting truth, where we live in a country that's the truth of God is being eroded and eroded and eroded. We need to protect this truth. We need to teach this truth to our children and our children's children. That's what God's heart was. See, John starts out the elder. I'm the elder. Right now, John's anywhere between 80 and 100 years old. He's an old dude. And I just love this old dude has such fervor for the body of Christ, such a heart for the body of Christ to encourage them in remaining in truth. The truth so impacted the Apostle John, he wanted all to have that as well. The Apostle John was the last apostle to be living at this point. So I think sometimes he's saying, I'm the elder, I'm the last one. Whoever was reading this letter knew exactly who the writer was. And notice he says, to the elect lady and her children, the elect, those that were called into the body of Christ, those that are called into God's. And we're not going to talk about election and all that type of stuff today, but if you're in the body of Christ, you are elected there. You're a chosen people into the body of Christ. So this is who he's writing to. And notice what he says, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth. It's kind of us saying, you know, when we send an email, love you in Christ. Right? It's not, if I write you an email and I send you an email something and at the bottom I say, love you in Christ, it doesn't mean Pastor Rob loves you. Like, oh, we got a problem with Pastor Rob. Oh, I love you in Christ. I have a love for you. I have a different love for my wife, amen, than I do for my church. Make sense? It's important. And that's what John's saying. I love you in truth. We're called to love one another, but we have to love that in truth. It can't be just a robotic love. It has to be a genuine love for the body of Christ, a genuine concern for the body of Christ. So he says, I love you in truth. And notice he says, not only me, but all who have the truth love you. This person's life, or this church's life, again, however you want to do it, had a great impact in the body of Christ at this time, had a great impact in the church at this time. Everyone that came around loved them. Do you know people like this? Do you know people that you just love being around you? There's always a positive message, or there's always something that they can pour into your life. Who in your life is speaking into your life in such a way that you go, man, I just love when you talk to me. I just love when you encourage me. I just love it. And everybody that comes in contact with you loves you. This is this woman or this church that John is talking about. What a life. What an existence. What an encouragement. We need to encourage one another in these ways, guys. It's so important that we just don't take people for granted. Listen, I'm blessed in the position God has given to me. I'm blessed in the call that he has upon my life. But it's something when I hear someone email me or talk to me and say, you know, your ministry has really impacted my life, or that message really touched my heart. And again, it's not about me. But to know that God is using me in your life encourages me to continue. And I use that as an example to say, do that to one another. Encourage one another. Listen, we all have faults. We all have mistakes, and we can point them out till we're blue in the face, but who cares about those things? Find the one thing good in someone and encourage them in that. And you'll see there'll be transformation that would happen in their life. You know, your kids may not be the place that you want them to be. They may not be making the decisions that you want them to make, and you can probably point out all their mistakes. But I encourage you. Nurture their strengths. Nurture the things in their lives that are good. That will make a bigger impact than you pointing out all the mistakes. It's so true. And isn't that the great thing about God? He just tells us he loves us. He has great plans for us. He doesn't list, well, you're dumb. You don't do things the way I tell you. I got to tell you over and over. He doesn't say it like that. It's like, oh, Lord, you love me. Do you know who I am? It's like, do you know this person? To love in truth and to know this truth is so important. Jesus said it this way. It'll be up ahead. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall shape you. Now, it's one thing. This is why I love this verse. If you know this truth, it will set you free. You'll know that, and you'll be obedient to it. But I also believe what Jesus is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the truth. If you know me, I'll set you free. When you have that relationship with Christ so much so that you can know that you're in the right relationship with him and you're in a right place with him and you're moving in the direction that he wants you to be, man, that sets you free. Because there's a world around us that wants to keep us in bondage. You got to do more. You got to put more time in, more effort in, right? I mean, if you work for the corporate thing, it's like they're not going to get mad at you if you put in extra hours, are they? Oh, hey, go for it. But Jesus is going to set us free because we're doing what we want to be doing, what he wants us to be doing. Get your truth from the Word of God and the Word himself, Jesus Christ. So important. Keep your place in 2 John. We're going to come right back. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is talking about the gifts within the body of Christ. And we're going to pick up in verse 11. Very familiar area of scripture. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the reason God has given gifts to the church is so that he'll build the church up to edify the body in Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's not saying so that one person raises up. It's so that we all will grow up in that. Look at verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, here it is, in love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You got to love the Apostle Paul. Long-winded guy. It's like, that was one sentence, what I just read, basically. Speaking the truth in love is my point. Now, God gives gifts to the church so that we'll grow together, that we'll all be unified, that we'll all be matured, that we'll all be strengthened, but so that we would speak the truth in love. What this means is sometimes we got to be open and honest with people. Speaking the truth in love. I'm not a confrontational kind of guy. People that know me know I would rather avoid confrontation at all costs unless God really kicks me in the gear to do it. But there's sometimes God says, you have to say something. You have to say. And the thing I love about God is when we say something, we do it from a loving perspective rather than a critical perspective. If you love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. You're going to take the time to sit down and say, I want to talk to you about a few things. I want to share a few things. I know there's things in relationships between people that build these wedges and build these divisions, and maybe you have some people you don't talk to anymore because they've hurt you, but you're not going to take the time to sit down with them and say, I've got some things to share with you from a heart of love so that the relationship could be restored. So instead, we just let it fester. You've heard me say it a million times. The biggest enemy in relationships is our own minds. Well, if I say this to them, they're going to say this, and then I'm going to have to say that, and then it's going to be a big argument. I have found probably 10 out of 10 times, if I will do what God tells me to do, because I've already worked in my mind how it's going to work out, I walk away going, sorry, God. It didn't work out that way at all, did it? God took care of it. God restores it. So I'm encouraging you, if there's relationships in your life that are hindered, that you go, man, I miss that person, but they won't receive what I have to say. Trust in the Lord. Pray about it and see that God won't open that opportunity for you. Speaking it from, a perspective of love. A perspective of love. Going back to 2 John, you got to love the apostle. He just, this grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Ugh. We can't avoid these. Grace is the undeserved favor of those who deserve punishment. And mercy is pity shown to those who deserve punishment. And the peace comes when you have the first two. The order of these are so important. And notice what John says, different than any other. Grace, mercy, and peace will be yours. Will be with you. When you experience the grace of God, when you've experienced the mercy of God, that peace will come and it'll be a part of your life. So important. And this is what John is telling this lady or this church. These things are going to be with you because you have a relationship with God in truth. Now, verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. John somehow bumped the shoulders either again with church members or the children of this lady, and he saw that their lives were lining up, saw that their lives were being lived out according to the Lord. And I would imagine if you're a parent, when your kids run into other people, and they go, wow, your kids are good. They're well-behaved. They know the Lord. That's a great thing for you to hear, isn't it? And so this lady, or the pastor of this church is hearing John say, man, I've run into some people that belong to you, either your kids or your church members, and wow, they're doing a great job. Excellent. That is so wonderful, isn't it? It's nice to know that your kids are doing well, right? I would imagine as parents, your greatest thing in your heart would be that your kids would succeed and that your kids would live lives that honor the Lord. And here we see this happening in this particular person's life. John will say in the next letter, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in love, walking in truth. What great joy. It's amazing. How many of you in this room know how many verses are in the book of Luke chapter 2? If you know, I know my wife knows, I told her last night. I knew she was going to do that too. Anybody? How many verses? Nope. 52. Who said it? Gold star. 52 verses. Did you look it up? You knew it. Okay, very good. 52 verses in Luke chapter 2. My wife and I were at dinner yesterday with a couple from the church and their family and their kids. 5-year-old boy, five and a half, he corrected me, recited the entire book of Luke chapter 2 from memory. And I got to tell you, he humbled the socks off of me. I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I know the first verse. I mean, 52 verses and without skipping a beat. I mean, my jaw was on the ground. It was amazing this kid was able to memorize Luke chapter 2. What a blessing it must be for those parents to know that the school that they're sending them to is teaching them to memorize scripture like that. We have the capacity, children have the capacity to learn these things if we'll take the time to teach them these things. And to see though how this little boy's, and then he really got me. He was sitting next to me, his exact words. Everyone believes Jesus, right? I said, what did you say? He goes, everyone believes Jesus, right? I said, well, they should, but not everybody does. And what that displayed to me is this young man who had the Word of God hidden in his heart, knew about having a relationship with Jesus, he loves Jesus, and he knows that getting to heaven is through Jesus, and in his mind, everyone should know Jesus. Oh, yes, everyone should know Jesus. And what a heart this kid has. And it's just that when you hear Jesus say, if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, come as a little child, boy, this was an example to me of amazing faith and amazing confidence and amazing trust in God. If we could only just have a glimmer of that in our lives to believe, Lord, everyone needs to know Jesus. Who in my life doesn't know Jesus? You know, you guys bump elbows with people all the time that aren't believers, but you're showing them Jesus. And we don't have to force it down their throats. We just need to show them Jesus so that they would want to have this Jesus as well. I'm confident that it's not going to be too long before your friend Steve eventually will accept the Lord. I mean, you can just see that. You just see God setting that up. But see, we want it to happen now. Come on. Pray this prayer with me. Come on. They're like, wait a minute. I'm not sure. Nobody wants to be pressured into believing. If they're pressured into believing, they're believing for the wrong reason then. You got to believe because God's got your heart. And you fall in love and you want to live this truth out that John is encouraging in this church or in this woman. I just love it. I've rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. That is a heart of a pastor, certainly. That is a heart of a Christian that enjoys seeing people walking in truth. There is no greater joy for me or probably many of us in this room to know that there's someone walking according to the Lord. Our hearts break when we know someone gave their life to God or lived their life for God and now they're wandering, now they're drifting. And when I say that, I just have a list of names of people that I used to know were on fire for God, and now they're just kind of like, whatever. Oh, no, we can greatly rejoice. But notice what he says in verse 5. And now I plead with you, lady, I plead with you. Your children are doing good. You're teaching them. You're raising them, or your church members, again, however you want to do it. But he says, but now I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't run out of gas. And I now plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, I don't think John is saying you're not a very loving person. You need to start loving. I think he's just saying continue in the commandment that you've so well trained your kids. Continue in this heart of love. You cannot go wrong if you're living a heart of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 will tell us how that true godly love is. And if we can walk in that and live that, we'll be living according to the Word of God. But he's pleading with her. You can kind of hear the apostles' heart to say, just continue to do good. Because they were living in days where there was a lot of dissension. There was a lot of deceit. We'll see in a minute. In a few verses, they say, hey, there's deceivers out there. There's antichrists out there. They're trying to rob it from you. How many of us know there's a lot of antichrists in the day that we live? There's a lot in there that want to say, that's just old myths. I was reading a blog the other day. And it was a debate between a theologian and an atheist. And I don't know if my mind just doesn't have the ability to comprehend, but they're talking deep thoughts, and it's like this atheist was saying, oh, that's all mystical, and oh, God is just if God actually exists, then I forget what term was he used. He would be an unfair God or something. I mean, just totally missing the point of who God really is because of their intellect. It's like, guys, we have got to hold on to the truth. We've got to plead with us that we would walk in love. No matter what cost it is to you, walk in love. Be motivated by love. If you can bring it back to that heart of love, then you'll know you'll be on the right track. Stay in that place. I thought I would get a whole book done today. Yeah, I know, yeah. No, yeah, that's next week. Let's go to John chapter 13. Kurt, you talked way too long, man. I do that. I blame everybody but me. It's everybody. Again, we're practicing truth. That's what John is talking about. And he's pleading with this woman to love one another. And look what Jesus says. You know, because John says, this is not a new command. You've heard this from the beginning. And so when Jesus came, this is what he taught. And this is what he says here in verse 34 of chapter 13 of John. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Here's Jesus is the one that's saying, a new commandment I'm giving to you, which isn't necessarily really a new commandment, but God always wanted us to live with love. He wanted us to love him. But now Jesus is saying, what I want you to do, I want you to love others. I want you to love one another. The new part to me is as he loved us. As Jesus loves you, you're to love others. That sets the bar so high that we always have to strive for it. We always can be better at our love, at our commitment to one another. Certainly Jesus laid down his life. But I want you to love one another so that people will know that you belong to me. See, you shouldn't have to wear a cross around your neck or what would Jesus do bracelet on your wrist for someone to know you're a Christian. They should know you're a Christian because you're a joy to be around. You're a pleasure to talk to. You're always encouraging. You're always willing to teach, share from the Word of God, the truth that we have. Loving, motivated by love. Now listen, there's a lot of things in the world that are pushing us to our limits so that we aren't loving. And there's this illustration that I've heard before. If a teacup is full to the rim with water, when you tip it over, water comes out, right? In your life, if you're filled to the rim with God's love, when somebody tips you over, guess what's coming out? Love. God's love. You need to be filled with his love if you want to be able to love others. And that's the call for the Christian, to know how much God loves you. I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time seeing a Christian living a lie. And what I mean is, you're believing a lie that the enemy has spoken to you, or you're believing a lie that the world has spoken to you. Or we've heard these things that maybe our teacher, when we were in fifth grade, said, you're not going to amount to anything. And it's still in your head. You're believing that lie. Yes, God loves me. Yes, God has a purpose. But I was told that I'm not worth anything when I was five. And you're living that lie. Don't live the lie. Reject the lie. Live the truth. Jesus died for you so that you could have a life, and that life would be more abundant. Are you living the more abundant life? And that more abundant life is really motivated by love. Loving. It's easy, I know, it's easy to love those that love us. It's easy to love those that like us. But God calls us to love our enemies. you're never going to love your enemy unless you have to the brim God's love in your life. Love one another in truth means loving God, loving others the way Christ loves you, unconditionally. And I know, listen, I've sat down with people, and they said, and they'll give me the reasons why they aren't doing this, or why they're not restoring that, or why they're not doing it. The reasons don't matter. Do what God tells us to do in His Word, and let God do the rest. Don't already have figured out the outcome before you're willing to step up and do what God calls you to do. Father, we thank you for your word today. We're grateful, Lord, that we are able to read a short letter and get a message that helps us to practice the truth and practice living out love. Lord, whether this is a specific woman or if this is a church, Lord, they were doing well. They were being encouraging. Their members or their children were living rightly. And I pray that for us, Lord, for myself, that we would live in such a way that people would see our lives and go, wow, there's something different about them. They are definitely living the truth. No compromise. Lord, I am convinced and convicted in my heart that we live in an area of this country. There's so much compromise. There's so much, say, greasy grace. God, let us not abuse your grace. Let us receive your grace and live a life that honors you and helps others. So God, we just want to say we love you. We ask that you would help us to practice these things this week. To practice loving one another. To practice living the truth no matter what. No compromise. Let that be our challenge this week, that we would not compromise in our faith. We give you the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.